Welcome to Brea Talks, bringing you straightforward, accessible content from industry leaders and experts with no agendas or decisions to make. Just important topics affecting all of us and how they specifically apply to Brea. We'll clear out the noise, debunk myths, and give helpful, concise information. So now, we invite you to listen in as Brea Talks.
Hi, everyone. Today, Brea Talks, the future of retail. I'm Dave Crabtree, Community Development Director for the City of Brea, and I'm joined today by John Mahegan, who is our the Senior Vice President for Regency Centers. John, welcome, and I appreciate you taking the time to have this conversation with me.
Thank you, Dave.
Want to cover a few aspects of retail. I'd like to talk first about, you know, kind of how we got here, talk about what that looks like for Brea, you know, some of the myths and issues that are out there, and what some future opportunities might be. So let's just kind of get into it a little bit. You know, that whole question of how we got here in the retail environment. You know, we hear about retail and Armageddon and, you know, the Amazon Big Bang, and I hope I'm not stealing all your words here, but, you know, what's changed? Is this a trend?
Sure.
How can you help me with that?
Yeah, so how we got to retail Armageddon? Well, it started, obviously, when the internet was invented, and people started buying things online, but it really didn't pick up until 2010 or 12. And I looked back at it, and that's about the time that 4G became available to cell phones. And
wow.
So all of a sudden, cell phones started working much faster and better, and the interface became, overnight, very simple to sit on your couch and buy anything and have it delivered the next day. So over time, that has built up, and retail Armageddon is the result of basically all of us out there buying a little bit more and a little bit more every day online.
Very good. And you know, just in terms of some of that history, the stuff that I hear, you know, those other buzz phrases, that Amazon Big Bang, and, you know, these analogies,
sure,
of, you know, the universe and so forth. Help me with that.
Well, I think that definitely that Big Bang moment happened individually in every family. And when you started to kind of stop going to the grocery store as much as you did, stop going to the mall as much as you did. But I think that overall, retail Armageddon is really misunderstood. And it's definitely misreported about what it actually means and what it is. And what I think it means is in our opinion, is that, you know, people are shopping differently. But that's not anything new for retail. That's something that these trends come and go.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the internet sales are taking a bite out of a lot of retailers. But certain retailers and tenants that we have in our portfolio aren't affected at all.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they're thriving because they have an ability to use an omni-channel, which allows them to have a store and an internet presence and use social media to actually raise their awareness and increase their sales.
You know, I've heard that term, omni-channel.
Yeah.
And I know I see now some of the folks, and we'll talk about opportunities, but just while you mentioned that, you see some of these names now doing brick and mortar,
sure,
that we haven't seen, that were more associated with the internet. So they really do need both, or some of them are finding that they do.
Absolutely, and the biggest one is Amazon. I mean, they bought Whole Foods for a reason, to have a brick and mortar presence. But you're right, other retailers that have been online only have started to open up our bricks and mortar stores, and they've seen an increase in sales in those areas. And a lot of tenants, not just Amazon, who looks for Prime members, but other tenants look for who's buying their products online and try to put a store in that location in order to gain more awareness and actually, you know, deliver their brand right to the customer.
Got it. So if we look at that or talk about that, you know, for Brea, or, you know, Brea's smaller, but, you know, Southern California and some of that perspective, you know, are we different? Are we better, worse?
Yeah.
You know, comparing that statewide, nationwide?
Well, we've always been very lucky. I've had my whole career in Southern California, and always in my 22 years, there's been a new retailer coming into town to backfill vacancy. So we have a very strong market here because sales are very strong, and tenants really, at the end of the day, retailers just want to be where there's a strong sales environment. And Southern California has great demographics in order to create that sales environment. So we're lucky, we are different. What the issue is, I think, these days, is that a lot of Southern California is master planned. Orange County, a great deal of it, comes from a master plan design. And those designers, when they put in the amount of retail, weren't thinking of this thing called the internet that was going to come along and steal some of these internet these retail sales. So it was designed for a different time. So we have to evolve, yeah. And so I think that you know, with us, we're looking at changing our centers and having our centers evolve, but also trying to merchandise them differently. We really don't want a center with tenants that it's filled with tenants that it can be easily attacked by the internet. You try to deliver those tenants that can be all the things we hear about. You know, giving you an experience, customer service. Mm-hmm. You know, feels like you have a brand awareness with the customer. So we've changed our philosophy from there with how we lease our shopping centers because of it. But we're still, our numbers have never been better as far as occupancy is concerned. Mm-hmm. We have people that want to be in our shopping centers because we have neighborhood centers for the most part across the country. We have 80% of our centers are anchored by a grocery store. But locally, 100%, and actually have a few centers that have two grocery stores. And people are still doing a lot of their grocery shopping, majority of their grocery shopping in person. The sales for our grocery stores, for the most part, are up, and traffic is up, and we have retailers that want to be next to those grocery stores because of that reason.
Very good. You know, a couple of things you said, and takes me to wondering about demographics and you know, generational stuff. You know, we hear about, you know, baby boomers, we hear about millennials, we hear about generalizations about those. And I'm wondering, you know, for folks like myself, my colleagues that are in the development world for a local government, what kind of things do we need to be aware of and conscious of to help secure the fiscal future of the city, you know, from that perspective? And for your industry, what you see and things that you've got to do?
Yeah. Well, on millennials and baby boomers, there's a lot of talk about how different they are. And they are, I mean, but because their age is different. But if you look at the stats, they actually shop fairly consistently with each other. They both want brand, good brand. They both want customer service. Millennials are obviously better at technology than baby boomers, but that can be said for every young generation in the history of man. So, but you know, as far as cities are concerned, I think that the smart cities and are being proactive and trying to get at some of their retail that, frankly, has been had that bite taken out of them by the internet and is not going to recover. And they're what, as I said before, what these tenants are looking for is a retail sales environment, and that means people. So what they look for, and we quote all the time, is what's the density around the site? How many people work around the site? And what do those people make? And those three things, it's basically, it starts as simple as that. Mm-hmm. That determines whether or not a retailer wants to be in your city. And like I said, with the master plan nature of Orange County, what every city needs is more people.
Yeah. Okay.
If they want more retail.
Well, and you've touched on a few things for me that are some of those myths that are out there or problems or issues. But you know, one of the myths, you know, we'll hear from some are, you know, retail's dead. You don't need to, you know, build anymore. And perhaps there's some wisdom in maybe there's, you know, new or different retail to build. But can you talk a little bit about, you know, some of the things that you might hear on the street that are just not true or things that we should be aware of?
Well, you do hear that we don't need any more retail. And it's I don't think that's true. What we need is the right kind of retail. We don't need miles and miles of strip centers that go on forever that all basically offer the same thing. Mm-hmm. But what we need are communities the number one things that office tenants want and that residents want are amenities. And that's the retail. And so we need the right retail in the right places. But we also hear a lot of these myths. I think it's a big myth. Maybe this is self-serving as a landlord, but that, you know, you hear in the paper, oh, they lost their lease, and they you know, the landlord is being greedy. And when is the landlord going to get it that there's a retail problem going on? And trust me, we get it. We are very aware. We watch every one of our centers, and I would say every landlord is focused on keeping occupancy up. What's the reality is that people are shopping less at their favorite restaurant or their favorite store. Mm-hmm. And so it's not necessarily the landlord that's doing it. It's the world that we live in today that's taken an old concept and that just can't survive in today's retail environment. And they're not doing well. And I say it a lot, you know, at friends' houses when they complain about one of those tenants going out of business. I say, when was the last time you were there? and they don't like that question because the answer is not it's been a long time. Yeah. So for the most part, though, we're really trying to keep our occupancy high. You know, when you have a healthy vibrant environment at your shopping center, everybody benefits. A grocery store doing great sales benefits the nail salon. People coming to get their nails benefits the grocery store.
You know, one of the things we grapple with as arbiters of land use and retail environments in a semi-suburban setting is parking.
Sure.
And there's something that is arguably changing out there, but you know, what are we to be aware of as planners and you guys as retailers or management of properties? What's new and different on the parking front? And do you have the exact formula now? Or
I wish I did.
Yeah,
I think parking is one of those things that we in retail. I say a lot, it's not location, location, location. It's location, location, parking. And I think because it's so much determines about what kind of tenants we can get, how much we can build. Mm-hmm. And every tenant is very focused on where their customers are going to park. And I would say, though, that back to the millennials versus baby boomers, that is a difference. They're not as focused on the parking. And for the first time, we're going to community meetings and we're hearing from mostly millennials, well, we think you're building too much parking. Mm-hmm. And that is, for us, that is... we haven't heard it before. It's unusual.
Yeah.
Because we've heard so many times that there's not enough. And when we do surveys on our parking lots, almost every single one of them, there's always an available parking stall. Mm-hmm. It's just not exactly where the person wanted.
Yeah.
When they got in their car, they pictured parking right in front of the front door of the store they were going to. And when they get there, someone else had that same vision and took it before they got there. But there is parking available. But what we're hearing a lot, and it's a weird time to be a developer, is that, all these autonomous vehicles are going to come along, and no one's going to need any parking. And so, what we go on and continue to build it, because today, city codes require us to provide that parking. Restaurants and retailers haven't adopted these philosophies that parking isn't a problem. So over time, it's definitely changing, and you can see tenants being less concerned about it, and realizing that Uber is a real thing. I heard the other day that hotels get 30% of their traffic now is just straight Uber, so they need less parking. Mm-hmm. And I feel like most people, when they go out to dinner, they're taking Uber now. So it's those realities and those changes are certainly going to affect the retail that's built in the future, and I think make a great impact on it. And it'll be a lot better. But these autonomous vehicles that we're all talking about are still going to have to park somewhere. They can't forever go yeah. anywhere. So there's going to be a much reduced parking code, in my opinion, but we're just not there yet. And I can't wait as a commuter. I'm ready. As a commuter and a retail developer, I'm ready for it. But we're not there yet.
Well, this is a great transition too for us to weave in some talk of those future opportunities. I mean, my takeaway from some of what you're telling me here is for a city, to help realize the investment that folks like yourself and other companies might want to make in our communities, that we need to be open to some of that flexibility.
Yeah.
We need to provide for that assurance for our community and our decision makers that there will be enough parking, but not be afraid of some creative solutions. And I'm wondering if that's been some of your experience or what some of those other opportunities might be for the future.
Yeah. Well, what we're doing now is a lot of shared parking analysis, where we look at when the stalls are actually being used, and we're really considering more valet at our centers. And we're also striping in Uber stalls in order to give them a kind of a home base for them to come and go. We think that makes a big impact. But with Brea, I feel like when I was starting my career out, I worked as a broker, and we leased a bunch of shopping centers up and down Imperial Highway. And I always loved working in Brea because, frankly, you only get paid when you lease, and we leased well in Brea. And the reason we did is because it had a good combination of daytime population with the office that you have around here, and a lot of residents. And that combination, like as I said earlier, creates an attractive place for a retailer. So building on that, those two things, as much daytime as you can get, that just gives every restaurant a bigger lunch business. That makes it a huge impact. So putting those uses together is also, I think, part of the future. We've done a lot of vertical mixed use in our history. We're starting to look at a lot more vertical mixed use and horizontal mixed use, because those uses, when you have office above you and you have all those customers, and now frankly, people don't walk that far for lunch. And if you can have them pour out at noon and go to all your restaurants, the retailers are loving that. And I think that's a big shift. 5 years ago, Southern California tenants were still thinking like, don't give me my parking, give me my space. And now they're saying, put me up against apartments, office, as much as possible, and I will do that. That's where I want to do business, because I know that I'll be able to get their attention and get them in here.
So is this idea of, you know, talking about that mixed use and our existing shopping center properties and so forth, should we expect to be hearing from folks such as yourself about introducing housing into some of that as well?
I mean, absolutely.
Okay.
I think that the retail herd needs to be thinned. And most of our shopping centers, we think, are very thin, very lean and mean already. But I think overall, some of these other shopping centers out there can, you know, their part of the herd is going to be thinned. And I think the best thing for the surrounding retail is to add more office and residential.
Okay. I'm trying to think of other tools, solutions. As you know, as we've been in touch, you've kind of followed Bray, and we've done some community-wide outreach and heard from our community and our business sector on things that they may want to hear that they may want to have in their city in order to stay in Brea. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering for you as a major property owner, business owner here in town, what kind of things you're going to need from the Brea of the future in order to, fully realize the potential of your properties. And we've touched on a few things, but other things that come to mind, I'd love to know them, to have them in mind, to continue to discuss as time goes on.
Yeah, well, we're very lucky, to own two properties in Brea. And I think in the future, that idea of being flexible on parking, being flexible on uses, I think is going to be important. Spaces. I said earlier that in Southern California, there's always been another tenant coming along. It's been like the burger wars and the pizza wars or whatever. There's been a wave of tenants that always want to occupy that space. I feel like that's still very strong, but that use may be not a retail use. It might, there might be someone that wants that space, but it isn't is an apartment or an office developer, or it's a combination of other uses or something like that. We've seen it a lot in the healthcare world. We've been approached by a lot of the hospitals and just medical uses in general that want to be part of the grocery anchored center world, because that seems to be kind of a natural center of town. But I feel like that flexibility in the future and realizing that putting a medical use in or one of those other uses is so good for that retail, that if you want that vibrant retail and you want those great restaurants, everyone always wants more restaurants. You need more bodies, and how do you get that? You create a combination of uses that are coming together on your site.
Very good. So if I can ask, and you'll be careful about your answers. I don't want you to give away any trade secrets, but on a state scale or national scale, what's the hot new restaurant that we ought to be looking for to welcome into Brea, or the new trending retail establishment? Any teasers for me for what we might
coming
be
in the
seeing?
Future?
Yeah,
I hate to say the most boring answer, but the reality is that we don't get too excited about one specific tenant, because retail and restaurants, as we all know, they kind of come and go. They have their time and they go. The burger wars, they fizzle out. And so what we do is we kind of create spaces that it could be leased by a variety of tenants. And I'm sure, so as far as secret tenants to look for, you're seeing a lot of tenants get smaller. I mean, and so these big giant restaurants that offer full bar and they're 6,000 square feet, that's extremely hard to find tenants that want to be that size, frankly, because of the cost of not the rent, but of the labor. So you're seeing those restaurants, those fast casual, kind of this fast casual category get really active, and those tenants wanting to be more 4,000, 4,500 square feet at most, just because that's as big as they can be and still be profitable. So that's a category that's busy. Those big dinner houses are harder to find these days in California.
Very good. Well, John, we've kind of come to the part of this discussion that I like to call the last word.
Wow, okay.
I'm going to give you the opportunity to have the LW, and what would you leave a community like Brea and myself as a community development director thinking about for the future of retail in our community?
Okay. Well, I would just go back to where we started, Retail Armageddon. It's not what you think it is, but it is something that needs to be taken seriously, and everyone needs to understand that we're all quietly part of the problem. My family shops online. We're a big part of the problem. And that the right retailers and the right landlords are doing everything they can to counter that effect, and we're finding tremendous success. And if you look around at the retail centers today and 10 years ago, they're much different. But like I said, they're every bit as vibrant, filled with people, occupancy is good, rents are good, and we think we're being a very good service to the community. So it's not what you think it is, but something to be taken very seriously.
Excellent. Really appreciate it. Thanks so much for your time tonight.
Thank you for the opportunity.
And, absolutely. And for our listeners tuning in, thanks for listening. And keep listening as Brea talks. Thanks. Good night.